Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you and welcome to another podcast of the Roundtable with your host, Mickey Hall. This show is now being presented by Triple Play LLC in partnership with the Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame was founded by Arif Khatib in 2002 to broaden the public's awareness of African-American and ethnic history and the role of diversity and cultural tolerance in the growth of professional sports. We induct athletes no matter their race, gender, religion, or lifestyle. We presented induction ceremonies in New York, Seattle, Puerto Rico, Los Angeles, Ethiopia, Nairobi, Kenya, Virgin Islands, Atlantic City, Oakland Bay Area, Las Vegas, Palm Springs, and Halifax, Nova Scotia, to name a few. Please check out our website at www.afrosportshall.com to find out all the latest events that are coming up. I want to first congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles on winning their first Super Bowl. I know the city of brotherly love is going to be showing some love for their sports teams tomorrow. So I'm real happy that the better team won. Don't forget that this show today will be archived 1 hour after this live broadcast, so you can listen at your leisure. Today, I am so excited to welcome my guest, who is a leader in the field of tech. Andrea Moore is the founder and CEO of Black Tech Women, the premier organization for Black women in the technology sector. Black Tech Women has grown to over 1,600 members in less than a year and is fast becoming the place and the social media platform to be on. Andrea Moore, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. I am so excited to be speaking with you today. And I also just want to add something. I know that the summary was probably from towards the end of the year. We're now at 2,100 members, which is insane that we've been able to grow so fast.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's so exciting. It's very, very exciting.
Well, why don't you start off by telling us how you got to this point? You are from Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I'm happy to share a little bit of my background. So I'm actually from Columbus, Ohio. And I went to the University of Cincinnati for undergrad. So that's where the Cincinnati comes into play. But I kind of always knew growing up that I wanted to be in a bigger city coming from the Midwest. I felt like, you know, it was nice for families and stuff, but in terms of a young professional advancing, you know, my career, I wanted to be in a bigger market. So I actually moved to New York. I focused on marketing research for a little bit, and then I quickly pivoted to California, and I joined Google. And so that was my first step into the tech scene. And that was in 2011. And I joined on the sales side of the business, focused on AdWords, Google Analytics, YouTube. So basically all of the marketing solutions that Google offers, I focused on those products specifically for small and medium businesses. That's how I got into the tech space. Spent some time there, went to business school, interned in tech, came back to tech, and essentially what I noticed is that some of my colleagues and friends who were, you know, with me at Google when I started, they had left, right? They had transitioned into finance or into traditional marketing or, you know, different industries because they weren't being supported in the tech scene as they were seeing some of their other friends were in more traditional industries. And then there were others who had decided to stay, but they also weren't being promoted. And then there was, you know, more information coming out in terms of Black female entrepreneurs and the fact that we start companies at a higher rate than any other group, but we're also the least funded of any other group. And so there's just, you know, as I think about the broader tech ecosystem, there just seems to be challenges, and it's hard to separate one from the other, right? Because typically, if you're a tech entrepreneur, you've had experience working at other tech companies. But if you're an advanced of those other tech companies, then it's hard to, you know, start your own company or to join a startup or to get funding or, you know, to become a VC, et cetera. Like, it's all very tied together. And so that's when I saw the need to create Black Tech Woman. And it's been an amazing ride. We have, like I said, about 2,100 members. They span from engineers to UX designers to product managers to venture capitalists to founders, just really across the board. And so the focus has been on community and bringing us together, but then taking it up a notch to figure out what are our needs. So whether it's exposure to investors or learning skills on, you know, how to do digital marketing the right way, to tips for advancing from an individual contributor to a manager to a senior leader. It's really been great to really take it and evolve it and test out different things, pilot different things, relaunch things. It's been really great to really see the organization unfold and grow, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what 2018 brings for us.
Yes, well, with growth that you've seen at a rapid rate, it's just incredible, because when you deal with women in technology, not even considering the factors as Black women, you're adding a trifecta, so to speak, of identities. You know, how is that one of the issues of Black tech women, is bringing these women together to learn how to deal with being the only women of color in a meeting or at a conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very early, and what I see as step one, right? And so when I talk to different members, when I look at our membership surveys, a lot of them are a little intimidated when they go to tech events, right? And so, you know, networking for any industry is important, but especially in tech, because that's how you find out about job opportunities, you meet with investors, et cetera. And so it's really hard to go from being the only one at work or one of two or three at work to then going afterwards to a networking event and still being the only one or the only one of two and having that pressure on you And then, you know, also microaggressions that you're facing at those events as well, you know, to be able to be there and thrive. And there's also events where we're just not represented at all. So how can we break through and get more of us in those rooms and having those conversations? That's been a big piece of it. So what we do is we will partner with organizations that host events, or we'll partner with big conferences to make sure that our members either get discount tickets or oftentimes free tickets to be able to go, and then we'll connect them with each other before the event happens. So the next event that we'll be at is Startup Grind Global Conference. That's next Wednesday, and we have, I believe, up to 15 members going, and so we have a Slack channel where we're sharing tips and talking about the agenda for the conference, and it's just great to know that even if, you know, we go into this space and it's not as diverse, we have a small community that we can kind of lean on while we're there.
Yes, you know, when we look around and see all that the tech offers, there are some people that say, why are you only focusing on Black women? Why do you think you should have your own organization?
Yeah, that question actually comes up pretty often. And it really came up at the beginning. Well, why isn't this a women of color group? Why isn't this a women in tech group? We all face similar issues. And when it came down to the real reason why I focused on Black women specifically is that there are a number of organizations, companies, initiatives that focus on women in tech as an overall theme, which is great. But then when I look at the metrics for Black women specifically in terms of measures of success or measures that I would identify as success, and that is funding, advancement to middle and senior level leadership, representation in general across the board at different levels, also representation in media and in terms of speaking about trends in technology, writing about trends in technology, we're not there at all, right? And so I think that even though women, there are more women and there's a lot of organizations focused on women specifically, when it comes to Black women, because we're so under index on a lot of these key metrics, I've determined that we actually need more focus, right? Like more specific focus on our community in order to be able to advance. So of course, you know, I'm in a number of women in tech groups, women of color groups, communities, and definitely benefit from being a member of those as well. But in terms of making sure the needle moves for Black women, because when you break down the data, we are, you know, underperforming. There needs to be an emphasis and a focus on us specifically. And so also being from the community and having worked in tech for a while, I felt that that would be my area of focus and could really drive the most impact.
Wow. Now, how is it for working with companies such as Google and Lyft? You've done some great marketing for them. What's the difference of how Caucasian people will look at their marketing dollars hitting the Black community?
I think it's, I don't know if it's necessarily a different approach in terms of, you know, how do you market this product? How do you position it? How do you message it? I think the process itself for marketing is the same. I think when it comes down to the level of segmentation and targeting and things like that, that's where having a deeper understanding of different communities. So whether it's, you know, the Black community, Hispanic, LGBT, and even within that, like Black queer women, right? Like, so that level hasn't, at least within the tech industry, I don't think that it's happened a lot. I think it's slowly starting to happen in terms of product and marketing. So what's been nice is that Amazon and a Black woman who is a product manager, a senior product manager there, she actually launched a experience that's focused on Black women's hair care, right? And so, of course, she's a Black woman. She understands the need of Black women in terms of their hair products, and I'm sure there's a ton of data that was showing what products were being purchased, what the top brands were, et cetera. So she was able to kind of look at that, identify the opportunities, use that as a way to drive business for Amazon, right? But I think tech companies are really starting, they're still in the early phases of making really target specific products and also really target and specific marketing. So I think we're still in the early phases of that. And then also I just remembered her name. I want to make sure that I call her name. So her name is Christina Bloomfield. And so, not only having, I think one of the things that's important too is it's not only just having the idea and having the data to kind of prove the case, but then also being in an organization where you're supported to take it and run with that initiative, right? Because you can find opportunities everywhere, but there also has to be support around it and resources around it to really bring it to life.
That's so true. I mean, look at just recently, the Super Bowl game. I guess there's a lot of uproar because a company used Martin Luther King's name in the background. And I guess people are upset about that. Do you
Which ad was it?
Was it Ram Dodge? They ran this ad with Martin Luther King's voice, and it caused a lot of uproar. And the Black community was very upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they do that for lack of research or...
I actually haven't seen the ad, to be honest, so I am not sure how it was positioned, so it's hard to be able to comment on that, but I guess in thinking about the broader conversation of more inclusive and celebratory advertising for people of color, and specifically Black people, I think there has to be a more nuanced approach in terms of how that happens, right? So I think companies are starting to realize yes, we should be doing this, right? Like we do need to have marketing advertising that speaks to all different consumers, but in terms of how that gets executed and what that experience should be, I think that is still really in the early phases, and companies unfortunately are still figuring that out in 2018. So for that ad specifically, I didn't see it, so I'm not really sure how it played out, but I think that companies are still kind of working and figuring out, how do we make this relevant, what is the right thing, how to make it authentic. I think there are things that can do, so if it's internal, you can ask people within the organization to provide feedback, but one thing you have to be very careful of is not only going to them for those types of ads, right? Like it should be more of a check, et cetera. And then also externally, there are agencies who are specifically focused on diverse communities and making sure that you're targeting them the right way and you're positioning things to them the right way. And so there's kind of different ways that you can do it, but I do think that companies are in the early phases of, okay, we know we need to reach this community. The how we reach them is still being figured out.
Yeah. Now, we know that the tech industry is dominated by white males.
Mm-hmm.
And only 57%, I think, is out there, but only 1% are find women in the top jobs or making these decisions. And I think it's even less for women of color.
Yeah, I think the numbers, the specific numbers of Black women in the tech industry or at big tech companies, et cetera, I think it gets a little fuzzy because typically you'll see the percentage of women and you'll see the percentage of Black people, but that overlay of, you know, Black women isn't typically called out. And so if you're seeing a company that says over 3% Black, right, I'm not even sure if that means that we're, you know, 1%, 1.8%. Like, I have no idea what that subset would be. I think it's just because the data hasn't been broken down to that level. And that also proves the case of why we need to have Black tech women, right? So women, we get looped into being Black on, you know, one side of things and then looped into being a woman, but not necessarily that nuanced approach. And then if you have, you know, any other attribute, that's another overlay. So if you are LGBT, if you're differently abled, you know, if you're older, et cetera, there's a lot of different ways to look at the data, and each of those things also adding another layer of oftentimes disadvantages or, you know, disenfranchisement that needs to be overcome when you look at it. And what we're going to do is I believe our head of programming for Black Tech Women joined the call, so I wanted to see if she is able to take a moment to introduce herself. I want to check.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes,
yes,
we can.
I can hear you.
Welcome.
Woo-hoo! Oh my gosh, it worked. Okay, great. Hi. So I'm Anna Bressy. I'm head of programming at Black Tech Women. I am sort of the newest member of our e-team. I've been with Black Tech Women since, I think, October 2017. Basically, my role is at a national scale to set programming for Black Tech Women members and for our partners that is really meaningful and hopefully life and career changing. So, yeah, that's me.
Now, Anne, when you say programming, explain how you mean that for our non-technical.
Absolutely. Sure. So when we say programming, what we really mean is our event strategy. So a real cornerstone of Black Tech Women and what we have to offer members is these very immersive events that we provide all across the United States and now in London as well.
That's right. You just recently had your first event in London. How was that?
I heard that it went very well. We have a new city lead in London, so that is super exciting. We're hoping to expand some more, expand our reach there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way that we execute on this programming is through partnerships and sponsorships, right? So in London, for our launch event last night, WeWork actually sponsored the space and provided the refreshments and everything for the event. And we were able to, you know, present a little bit about the organization and everything. And so that is how we're able to really take things up a notch and be impactful, is, you know, really to leverage, to first see the needs of the different partners and sponsors and see how we can, you know, help them with their needs, and then they can also help us really provide this critical space for our community.
Wow. Now, you are talking programming and bringing all these women of color together. When
yes.
you are facing your sponsors, how are they in approaching? Are they anxious to work with you? Are they still hesitant? You know, what's their reaction?
I was going to say, from my limited experience, you know, I've only been on the team since October. I feel like we've been very lucky to so far have worked with partners who are knowledgeable about the issues that we're facing and who are excited to face these with us. But I'll let Andrea speak a bit more to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that that Anna nailed it. So we have been, I think, pretty lucky that companies, organizations, even nonprofits, et cetera, are seeing the value of the organization and of the community and want to partner with us. For the ones who are like, we want to do something, we don't know exactly what we're going to do, we tend to have a few conversations with them and think about, you know, what could be the right unique setup. So if it is partnering with us on a bit that shows the organization more about their company and the types of roles and stuff that they offer, we'll do something like that. If they already have kind of like workshop materials that they're really looking to disseminate to diverse communities, that's another way that we've partnered to make that happen. And then I mentioned conferences. So a lot of organizations and things they're realizing that they need to have diverse attendees at their conferences, right? And so we're able to meet the need of our community and then also help them meet their needs. Because the lens is on, you know, the tech space right now to increase diversity kind of through the whole chain. And so I think that also helps with the conversations because they know that it is, you know, an area of focus and super important. So just showing the value that we're able to bring has been really great.
Wow. Now, let me play. I'm going to continue to play devil's advocate here because I think, you know, we need to bring light to the fact that recent reports show that Black women are declining from going into these tech jobs. Do you find that to be true? And why is it a decline when we have women such as Bozema, you know, who has been a big name for women of color and, you know, kind of like the leader now, but there's only still a few. Do you see that maybe picking up once, I guess, the millennials finish school?
I saw that data, and I think it speaks to the reason why we founded Black Tech Women, right? So if you come in for a tech company for 2 years or 3 years, and you're not being promoted or you're not being supported, you're not being mentored or sponsored, or, you know, you decide to go and do a venture, and then you're having a really, really hard time getting funding, you know, that's what I would expect to happen, right? Like, unless you're really going to, especially if you see other people in your community or in your network that are working in, let's say, finance or consumer packaged goods or consulting, and you're seeing them, while we're still underrepresented in those industries as well, but you at least see a little bit more movement up the chain, you know, why would you stay, right? I think. For me personally, I'm really passionate about technology and the way that it impacts every other industry. It changes markets. It makes things more efficient. There's just so many different things about that I'm super passionate about, but I can definitely see why Black women would leave, right? And so I think that's something that we're trying to address. So many ways you can kind of go about it and so many challenges associated with it. Anna, I don't know if you want to add something to that as well.
I guess I will just add, something that really attracted me to Black Tech Women and got me excited about joining this team is that we are really focused on retention. As Andrea said, we want to ensure that the Black women in tech that we are bringing in are finding their footing and feeling supported. No one wants to go into a role or into an industry that feels unwelcoming for them. And so our place in this space is to help them provide that mentorship, help them seek out that sponsorship, and help them to grow in a way that maybe they're not being provided at their employer.
Now, let me stop here for a minute. We're at the halfway mark. I want you to tell our listeners how they can reach you. Give them your social media contact.
Go ahead, Anna.
Yeah, so you can find us on Instagram at Black Tech Women. We are super active on there, especially through our Insiders program. So even if we don't necessarily have an event in your city, you can see what is happening all over the country and in the UK now. You can also find our private Facebook group and send a request to join. If you are a Black woman in tech or interested in getting in tech, just by going on Facebook and searching Black Tech Women. And we are also on Twitter at Black Tech Women.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I just have one announcement to make. I want to let our readers know that coming up on February 23rd, it's a couple of weeks away, the Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame will present the 2018 class at its annual induction ceremony. It's going to be held at Scott's, right in the beautiful Jack London Square. And tickets are going fast. So, people are very anxious and excited over this class. I think it's one of our better classes. To name a few, we have Daryl LaMonica, football great, being inducted. Dr. Kurt Marshall, wonderful track and field. And of course, one of my favorites, Sherry Sam from the WNBA. And Dennis Brown from football. So we've got a nice class of athletes and also a wonderful class of community leaders that we'll be honoring. So again, grab your tickets, go to our website, www.afrosportshall.com, and find out everybody that will be inducted. All right, let's get back to this conversation. We know that in the world of tech, there are tons of positions. Where do you see more of a need for women of color? And by that, I mean, there's computer science, there's hardware engineers. Where do you see that need mainly for them to start?
The need that I see, in terms of where the greatest need is, it mirrors the tech industry. So technical talent is definitely needed in terms of our representation in those roles. But as I look across all functions within the tech ecosystem, we're underrepresented across all of them. So if you look at the number of UX designers, if you look at the number of VC investors, if you look at the number of product marketers, across the board, we're underrepresented. But in terms of the greatest, and when I say greatest, I mean by people in roles, right? Like bodies in roles and actual positions. The greatest need is in technical roles, but down across the board, we're underrepresented across the board.
It is, and you know, I know a lot of programs have, you know, been started all over the place for the STEM, you know, the science, for our young sisters, but I don't think, and I don't see where they get as much attention as the boys in the program for their work, you know, and it seems that, yeah, that there's already a pull where, you know, the girl, I guess it's like that with any program. It's always men versus the women and who's pulling the better of the two. But with all the programs that are out there and people stepping up, why is it still a slow process for us?
Right. I mean, I think that there's a number of challenges that we face, right? So there's, you know, a lot of things too. I mean, I could probably list a million things, but like actually having the skill set, right? So these programs are focused on making sure that we actually get the skills. So can we do Python? Can we, you know, code? Can, you know, Java, et cetera? Like, can we do all these different things, actual hardcore skills? But in reality, that's only one aspect of what's considered for different roles, right? So they still look at, you know, what school did you go to? How are you able to problem solve in the interview, right? There's a lot of whiteboarding that happens in technical interviews. And if you haven't practiced interviewing that way, then, of course, you know, that's going to be a challenge. So even though you have the skills and maybe you've, you know, developed an app or you've coded a website or you've done testing before, if you're not used to doing technical interviews, then you're not going to make it past that stage. And then there's also bias too, right? Like we all, as humans have natural biases, but when it comes to the actual interview experience, it comes out through there as well. So how do you make sure that interviewers are identifying the fact that they could potentially have, you know, bias as they're interviewing candidates? How do they think, you know, how do they like kind of reframe and make sure that they're really focused on the hardcore aspects of what they're interviewing for and the performance and not what the person looks like or how they sound or, you know, maybe how they structure answers to problems, et cetera. So I think there's just a number of things, you know, kind of across the board that could cause us to kind of fall out of the funnel in terms of getting a position. And then, I mean, and then if I think about, you know, because we're we're focused on women who are already in the tech scene, right, the tech space. And so what we also see is a lot of under-leveling that happens, right? And so we tend to have more experience than others that are the same level as us. We, you know, have more expertise than others that are at the same level as us. People with, you know, fewer accomplishments, fewer launches, et cetera, will get promoted before us or, you know, even sponsored more than us despite, you know, the work that we've done. And so I think that also kind of contributes to it and also contributes to the bias, right? So. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a number of different things along the along the spectrum.
It is. And it's funny because I was at a client site last week, and one of the questions that was asked is, you know, how do you measure the racism that is shown with these hiring managers as they're looking over these resumes? They see Ann Smith, they see a Michelle Jones, they see a Ann, you know, Hall, but then they come to a Tamika Haley, or, you know, Siobhan, you know, how do you measure when they take that resume with Tamika's name and put it aside and don't even give them a shot?
I would say that is really hard for candidates specifically to measure or to know. But I would say that there are companies that I think we can really learn from in terms of how they're approaching the hiring process. You know, people are experimenting with a lot of different things. I've worked at companies where they strip the name from the resume before it gets to a hiring manager, or potentially they keep the degrees, but they strip the university name. That can be another form of bias. So I really think that in a way it is a problem because it is immeasurable, and it's really hard for a candidate to know whether or not they have made it through the hiring practice based on their name or what college they went to or what they found when they Googled them. So it is a little immeasurable, but I will say that there are actions that companies can be taking now to address those forms of bias.
Mm. I also want to add, there's actually a Black female founder. Her name is Stephanie Lampkin.
Mm-hmm.
She's part of a company called Blendor.
Yes.
And maybe hopefully I'm saying it right, Blendor, that actually does this, right? It matches candidates to different roles, but anonymizes their name and, you know, some other things that could communicate what race they are, what income level, et cetera. And so I think, you know, it'll be, you know, more companies like that that are instituting that technology into their, you know, applicant platform, et cetera, that really helps with that. I also think that as we look at more early stage companies, there tends to be a lot more networking, right? So they might not even have a formal application process. They're asking people like, hey, I need a CTO. I need a, you know, senior iOS engineer. And they don't actually go through, you know, have a formal applicant platform, right? They're hiring based on relationships. But if we don't historically have those relationships or not in those networks, then we won't know that those opportunities are available to us, right? And so I think another avenue is to think about how do we influence the VC community, because they're often helping these companies find roles, you know, by helping their portfolio companies to say, hey, you might want to start helping your portfolio companies have a diverse leadership team from the beginning. And so who can they reach out to and who can they partner with to kind of, you know, get Black women, of course, that's what I'm thinking about, but also other people of color kind of into that into that network to make sure that there's, you know, another pool of people that they can tap into that still have the same skill sets, right? They have the technical skills or the marketing skills or the analytical skills, et cetera, that's needed for those roles, but you know, just aren't in that pool of people that they know, and make those relationships happen. So that's something that we've also been thinking a lot about is, you know, how do we impact the full chain within the ecosystem to make it more diverse?
Yes. Now, you mentioned, you know, working with the VCs, the venture capitalists of the world. You know, how, what have you seen? It's not that many. I know there the women are now stepping up, but I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, only one Black woman, Harlan Hamilton, if I'm not mistaken, is the only Black woman that I know that started her venture capital. Yes, four. Women of color and those oppressed. How come no one else is jumping on the bandwagon?
I think there are some other people. So Arlen, number one, is amazing. I haven't had the opportunity to meet her in person, but I do follow her on Twitter, and she's just an amazing individual. So I think there are other people of color who are entering the VC space who are from, you know, entertainment or sports or, you know, other industries where they, you know, kind of reach a certain level of success. They have a certain amount of capital, and so they are doing some investment. I don't know if they have a firm like Arlen has, so she might be the only Black woman that has a firm. I'm not sure. So I think, you know, we are seeing that there are some, you know, some of us creating our own firms. I mean, there's also a few women who are not just yet at the partner level, but will probably quickly advance to being partners. So we are seeing that happening, and so that's amazing. So Sydney Thomas is one who I've met over the years, and she actually created a list of Black women in D.C. that is heavily referenced. And so it's great to see that, you know, she's in that space. Add another friend, Lisa Costa. She's not Black, but she's Hispanic, and she's also in venture capital. And so seeing that, you know, they're coming in there, like we're getting in there, I'm sure we'll quickly make an impact in advance to that partner level. Then hopefully we'll also have more Arlen in the world that, you know, create our own VC firm.
Okay. Let's talk a minute about our young sisters that are coming up. And what advice would you give them as they think about, you know, careers in the tech industry? What would you say to a young sister who, and I'll use my experience just as an example. The first time I walked into my computer science class back my first year of college in 1978, I had the white professor tell me I was in the wrong class and do not come back. How do you take those young sisters and tell them you do belong here?
Absolutely. So I think, you know, I have worked in STEM, not necessarily tech, for my whole career. And definitely before I moved to Silicon Valley, I was in the South, and I was the only woman of color in my place of work and the only woman of color that I ever met in my industry. So I was in land development. And that was really, really difficult. But something I learned and actually recently heard that Issa Rae said the same thing was to network across, right? So I didn't have anyone in my industry who I could look up to, who I could go to with questions, or when someone wronged me that I could go to for advice. And so what I really learned was to network with other women of color within STEM, you know, across instead of up, and use that network to support me and to further me in my career. And I think, you know, when you're in college and you're trying to get started, really the network of people that you meet at school and that you meet maybe at meetups or through a group like Black Tech Women, or hopefully Black Tech Women, you will develop a network that will really help guide the rest of your career.
Wow, that's really great. Now,
I like that.
Because I think it's important. One of the ways that, you know, I want to use this platform is to educate, inform, and inspire. You know? And I think the more that we don't sugarcoat our issues, then we can really get to the heart of looking at, you know, the issues close up. You know, what do we do when we are faced with a corporate person who feels that they don't need to learn how to market to the Black community, or they don't want to hire a Black woman to run their marketing because they feel she will only focus on that community? You know, how do we keep going?
Yeah, I think that is a big challenge. And I think even outside of the technology industry and just kind of thinking more broadly about society, there tends to be like three different groups of people. One that has no idea or awareness that anything is happening and that there's an issue. Another group where they realize that there's an issue, but it's not their responsibility. And then I think a third, they realize that it's that there's an issue. They take it on as, you know, the fact that it's not like it should be equal, it should be equitable, et cetera. And they're really allies and advocates, right? And so there's understanding that those are the three different groups. There's different ways that you can influence and, you know, kind of push things along with those different groups. So the first group that doesn't think there's a problem, is not aware, or kind of like out of touch, and or maybe even they're inhibitors, it's really hard for me, you know, to say like, hey, you should hire a Black woman, because they are so far removed in their awareness. But that's a time where you can really leverage those allies and advocates to help. And even those people in the middle who are like, okay, there is something going on, I'm not really sure what to do or if it's my issue, you can do a little bit more education with them and use them to reach that first group. I've just found that people who are so far on that spectrum, the message coming from me won't land. But the message coming from an advocate or ally from their group or from their community tends to land better, just because they're just so far out there that, you know, coming from me is not going to impact. So I think it's kind of identify who these people are, what group they fit in, and then what can you do to influence those people, and knowing how to choose your battles, right? I've like decided I'm not going to be this. I'm not the best person, and I won't be the best person to kind of reach that first group. But the last two, you know, the second group is a little bit more education. The last group, it's like they get it, they understand, and they want to help. And then it's just kind of tapping into them and asking for support and leveraging them. So I don't know, Anna, if you want to add any other perspectives or thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'll also say for the people who are out of touch and maybe disconnected, I really tend to rely on my allies, right? So those are people who maybe are not Black or not women, but I need those people, realistically. Mm-hmm. Like, I can sometimes be mm-hmm. out of my element. I can be in situations where I'm the only Black woman and I'm being asked to explain why we should hire a Black woman or why we should market to Black women. And those are hard conversations to have on your own. So really looking mm-hmm. for those allies, developing those ally relationships, and being able to rely on them when you are in an uncomfortable situation.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about analytics for a minute, because that's such a big deal now. A lot of these companies are paying for, you know, the path that we all make as we click through different ads, you know. How is that, how is grabbing that analytics helping companies reach out to the communities of color?
So how is using analytics for advertising?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that analytics have the ability to help or hurt us, right? So I think that definitely there are companies who can use analytics for good, to target certain groups. But there are also companies that will use it to exclude certain groups. And I think in that way, it is a double-edged sword, right? So it can be definitely a powerful tool for inclusion, and it can also be the opposite.
Definitely. One of the ways that people can help would be to just go out and hug all these Black women. What's you know, how do we get more people involved, and how can we help take Black tech women to its next level?
Absolutely. So there are a couple ways. Obviously, if you are a Black woman in tech, the best way to help is to join a group like Black Tech Women and to support the Black women around you. Along with that, it helps to become as involved as you possibly can in your workplace, network, and community. You know, I'm of the mindset of if I'm getting in, I'm bringing folks with me, right? With every bump that I'm going up, I'm bringing someone else up with me, or I'm clearing the path for them to get in the spot that I held before. So I think that is really important. And in that way, we can really empower ourselves. I'll also say that if you are an ally to Black women, so if you are a male, if you are not Black, I think that you can really present yourself as an ally to Black women. So maybe you don't have all the answers, right? But you can at least present yourself to the Black women in your life and say, hey, I understand that there are things that you are going through that I don't understand. Educate me. Let me know how to help you. Let me speak up for you when we are in meetings where you feel uncomfortable. Tell me who in the office, you know, is difficult for you to work through because of these biases, and let me talk to them. I really think that allies play a super important role in organizations like Black Tech Women, and just for the experience for Black women as a whole. I'll also say that Black Tech Women is not the only organization out there, right? There are plenty of organizations. Black Tech Women is one, but there are multiple across the United States and internationally that you can volunteer with. So volunteer to set up or tear down an event. You know, if you have extra tickets to a conference that you are hosting or speaking at, offer them up to an organization like Black Tech Women. I think that Black women, we can do a lot for ourselves, obviously, right? But I think that allies are just as important in getting us to that next stage.
Wow. Wow. You two have just been amazing. And tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm walking away with two important points. One is we have to build relationships with those we don't know and those we do know. And if we don't know, we need to find someone to put us in contact with them. And two,
absolutely,
as Black women, we must use our voices.
Absolutely.
What else can we tell the world about Black tech women? And where do you see it next year? Where do you see it in 2 years down the road?
Andrea, do you want to take this?
Why don't you get started, and then I'll
Sure. Yeah, so for Black tech women, the next 2 years I foresee being very exciting. From the programming standpoint, we definitely have a goal to expand to some new cities to really increase the rate of our programming so that we're having lots of events and providing lots of different opportunities for networking and professional development. And I see us pursuing some more exciting partnerships in the coming year and next year that will hopefully be super valuable to our members as well as to us.
Wow. Wow. Andrea, can you add anything else?
Sure, yeah. I would say that Anna nailed it on the head in terms of we're really focused on scale and impact, right? So we want to make sure that we continue to have events that are relevant in different aspects of your life. So we want you, of course, to, you know, increase your technical skills, leadership skills, management skills, all of that. But we know that working in tech is also very stressful, and, you know, we need mental wellness and physical wellness and time to, you know, be social and network and connect without, you know, just, you know, a professional purpose. We also know that a lot of us have either companies that we're starting or side hustles that may come into companies that we want, you know, to work together, right? So having physical space to be able to do that. And so we're really focused on being, you know, kind of full cycle for Black women in technology. But then as we think about the size of the impact and really putting metrics behind those things, when possible, right, the number of people attending, the number of women in our community starting companies, the number of them getting funding, the number of them, you know, finding better, higher-paying jobs, you know, really being able to measure that impact and then partner with companies and organizations that believe in our purpose, believe in our mission, and want to, you know, be a part of that as well. So I see it going really far. I see it being bigger and better as each month goes by. And it's exciting to be able to see the growth that's just happened, right, in less than a year. So I'm super excited. The leadership team is amazing. Our city leads are also amazing. They really help us, you know, understand the local tech ecosystem and execute at that level as well. So I want to shout them out.
Yes, definitely. You know, I know that I look forward to more information in the coming year with Black tech women. And I really, really can't thank you enough for taking the time. I know you guys are just so busy. Andrea, you're all over the place. I know, you know, not only taking, you know, Black tech women to the next level, but with all your other endeavors, I wish you nothing but success. And I know we're going to hear more of you. And anytime you want to come back on the round table, you are always welcome.
Thank you so much for having us today. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Before we go, tell them one more time how they can follow you and get more information, please.
You can follow us on Instagram at Black Tech Women, on Twitter at Black Tech Women. And please, if you are a Black woman in tech, join us on Facebook. Search for our group, Black Tech Women.
Definitely. And know that you are not alone. There are resources out there for you. Andrea Moore, Anna Ray, thank you again for your time and helping us understand the Black Tech Women in 2018.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. As we come to another awesome show, I can't thank my guests enough. I know we're going to hear more about it. But I'm going to leave us now with a commercial because upcoming on February 25th is the Black Joy Parade. And it is a first time for this that the city of Oakland is helping to support. But the Black Joy Parade will be February 25th, and it is promoting the rich Black culture here in Oakland. So until next time, people, stay safe.
We're here, a long line of people, maybe not always as visible as we should be, but here, no matter what gets stacked against us, Black people keep building and pushing and leaving things in the world better than we found them. And that's worth celebrating. We gather a lot to resist, and for good reason, but we don't gather nearly enough to celebrate. The Bay has a rich Black history and an incredible spirit, a community full of Black joy. And no matter how much this city changes, that will never go away. My name is Alicia Greenwell, and on February 25th, 2018, the first annual Black Joy Parade will make its way down the streets of Oakland to celebrate the spirit, resilience, energy, creativity, and excellence that made this city what it is today. If you're from here, if you're new here, if you're still here, join the community in our efforts to be seen, heard, and felt. We're asking for your participation and your support as we fundraise. Mark your calendars, donate what you can, share the news, and get ready to bring all your Black joy to the streets.